to shake things up around here. Shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sinora. Work your body line. Work, 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 Sinora. Work it all the time. My girl's name is Sonora. I tell you, friends, I adore her. And when she dances, oh brother, she's a hurricane in all kinds of weather. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Whoop. Shake, 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 Sinora. Shake your body line. Whoop. Shake, 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 Sinora. Shake it all the time.
Okay, I believe you. I heard if you say his name three times, he will appear. Andrew Blaz, Andrew Blaz, Andrew Blaz.
Oh my God, it worked! And that's exactly what I was thinking of too every time I hear that song.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest edition of Pod is War, baby. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And I hope you all used your heads and went last week to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and took advantage of that promo code MANIA to get 20% off your Chairshot merchandise. I know I personally did. But even if you didn't, hey, man, don't trip. It's all good. You still need to take yourselves to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official Chairshot merchandise. We've got old school designs. We've got new school designs. We've got the latest sensation that's sweeping the nation, endorsed by the man himself. That's right, folks. You heard that. Baron Corbin. And the Baron Corbin Sucks t-shirt. Again, endorsed by the man himself. You can get all of that and all the other great shirts that we have over on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And we're also patrons. So if you enjoy patrons, Jesus Christ. If you enjoy what we do and the content that we provide you, not just Pod is War, but if you want to hear more, i.e. Pod is More, more DeMarco, more DWI, more of our great, great, great laundry list of personalities and writers, you need to sign up for the Patreon. And that's at patreon.com/thechairshot, patreon.com/thechairshot, patreon.com/thechairshot. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. Again, I'm joined by Beetlejuice himself, Mr. Andrew Blaz. And Balls, I don't know about you, brother, but I'm on a mania hangover right now.
I don't think I'm quite at hangover. I'm at that point where it was just like a bender and you're just real fucking tired. Like, I ain't got the headache, but I'm just like, I could sleep for the rest of the week and I think I'd still be tired.
It's weird, man, because I didn't think it would affect me like it normally does because we didn't go this year, but I still have those same symptoms. And really, it takes you about a week, if you're lucky, to readjust back to normalcy. And I'm right in the middle of that. So I'm right there with you.
No, that sounds about right. Holy shit. I miss my pillow right now. Going to work hurts.
All right. And speaking of going to work, I don't really know how that's a good segue, but I needed to find some way to introduce the commissioner himself and moderator, Mr. PC Tunney.
See, this is just the proof is in the pudding right here, or in the pudding pop, if you will, that WrestleMania is just too long.
That's true. And I'm sure we're going to get into that. And I mean, man, y'all know what it is, man. Y'all just went through it, and you're probably on that blur, that feeling blah with us. So, fellas, we got a lot to talk about, man. What do you guys say we jump in and get to it? Get on the gift foot and do the bad thing.
Yep.
That means you can start with the topics.
you know. SOS, I hear them shouting.
Gentlemen, easily to me, the biggest story of WrestleMania was Kofi Kingston finally capturing the WWE Championship after all of these years. And of course, the social significance that goes along with it inside of the WWE. In addition, We have a botched kind of misstepped finish with the main event and the overall storyline from WrestleMania being in it with adding on the Seth Rollins win is Vince gave them everything he wants. My question to you guys, in addition, once again, to talking about all of those things is Vince scared of pissing off his fans and his viewers right now? So much so because AEW is coming around and there's so many other options that at some point along the way, he has to give them what they want.
Well, I'm going to go macro level and then I'll double back and talk about the specific topics that you brought up. And I'm going to start with the last question you asked on the macro side of the game. Is Vince scared to piss off his fans? No, I don't think so. I think they're good. I think that AEW is in their peripheral and they know what it is. And they have made some adjustments. I don't know if they're going to be lasting adjustments. I don't know if it just so happened that we went into Mania season and we actually had some really good storylines and that's what carried us through, or if this is an actual new direction, like if they are listening to the fans now. I guess that remains to be seen. There's some good and some bad that comes from that, by the way, as well. But yeah, I don't think he's pissed off. I think this Mania is going to serve as the new WrestleMania 20. Because you guys remember WrestleMania 20 for the longest, Eddie Guerrero and He Who Shall Not Be Named, that hug and embrace at the end of the show with confetti falling and they both had their belts, that was part of WWE lore. And then obviously the way that the Benoit story ended, you can't really go there now, and rightfully so, obviously, for obvious reasons. So I think this now replaces 20 as that Mania. Now I'm going to double back to that, and I want to, but before I do, I just want to say I did enjoy the Mania. I think I agree with everybody when we say it's too damn long. Like if you're gonna continue to have these marathon ass shows, well then let's start them earlier. Maybe you start your pre-show at 3 and then start the actual card at 5, because I don't know how many young people were able to make it to the end of the show first and foremost. And Balls, you might be able to help me out on this one because you're obviously more familiar with the New York City transit than I am. I was reading reports and heard that a lot of people, because the show let out, maybe they were, you know, they missed their subways or missed their trains and stuff like that. And a lot of people kind of got stranded out in the middle of New Jersey trying to get back to Brooklyn or wherever they were staying.
Yeah, that's a fair point, because I don't exactly know all of the ins and outs of the train schedule, but I can tell you from Saturday when I went to one of the events, and we'll touch on that later, the train schedule went like 1:45, 2:30, and then 5:00 in the morning. So if you happen to get stuck in that bog to get out of MetLife or whatever, yeah, there's a good chance you could have missed the last train that was, you know, going further south or wherever you had to go, and then you were stuck until about 5 in the morning.
Jesus Christ, man, that's a cluster. So if Vince is thinking about his fans, PC, that doesn't really sound like it too much, but that's neither here nor there. As far as the actual show, yeah, I thought it was good. There were a few matches that disappointed. The Randy Orton, AJ Styles, I was expecting a lot out of that. It seemed like it never really got into second gear. Batista and Triple H just looked like two old dudes out there. It wasn't horrible, but it just wasn't. Really, everything after Kofi was disappointing, and I don't necessarily blame the wrestlers because everybody worked hard, especially Roman and McIntyre. They worked hard, but it was just a dud. I think that was such an emotional release that the crowd never really recovered from it. And I think the main event suffered from that as well. I didn't love the main event. It wasn't a bad match, and it kept me intrigued. And, you know, the storyline going into it obviously was really good. But the match itself it didn't flow right. It was a little clunky. And then, of course, it had the weird finish. I don't really know. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if it was a botch or if that was the planned spot. You know, because you can make an argument either way. If it was a planned spot, it seems like they would have at least mentioned it on Raw, and there was no mention of it. But it also does give Ronda Rousey an out, so when she comes back, whenever that may be, she's got a bitching point and a legitimate gripe with how everything went. Now, that being said, just because I said I didn't love the main event, that doesn't mean that the women shouldn't have been the main event. So don't get that twisted, because I know a lot of people are going to use that statement and say, see, that's why they shouldn't have main evented. And if you think that, what I want you to do is go to your nearest cabinet or your linen closet, or I keep mine underneath the kitchen sink. Open up a bottle of bleach, take it to the neck, and then wash it down with some rubbing alcohol, all right? Because the women have been the most consistently entertaining thing in WWE for at least the past year, and they earned that spot and they deserved it, and it was the right call. Now, doubling back to obviously the biggest story of coming out the weekend and the match and the moment that's literally sucked the air out of MetLife Stadium. Fellas, I don't even know where to begin with this one, man. I mean, I watched it, obviously. Okay, we'll start here. Let's give props to Daniel Bryan. He played this role so perfectly, and he was so great in this entire build and the match in Mania as well. And I know my colleague Blaz is probably going to disagree, and his mentor Dave Meltzer will probably disagree, but between in-ring ability, mic work, and character development, Bryan Danielson is the best professional wrestler on the face of the earth, point blank period. And I think that he seems like the type of guy, from everything that we know about him, that the historic significance of this moment wasn't lost on him. So I felt like he went out of his way and above and beyond to help Kofi shine and look like a million bucks. So I just had to give props to Bryan as well. Kofi Mania, though, man, what can I say? We watched it live, and obviously we were celebrating, and it was a euphoric release. And the funny thing is, I went back the next morning and rewatched the show. And PC, Balls, I got to be honest, man. When I went back and watched the replay, and when Kofi got that three count, tears literally came to my eyes. And for a minute, I kind of felt like a bitch, because I'm like, well, why are you crying over this simulated combat story, you know? And then I go on social media, and I don't know if you guys saw the picture or the video with Shad Gaspar, formerly of Crime Time and MVP, and they were sitting there watching it, and they showed the moment that they saw that Kofi had won, and they both started crying and embracing each other, and it made me feel a little bit better. Representation matters, man. That's the bottom line. Representation matters. And I don't care whether you're black, brown, white, black, yellow, purple, male or female, every child, you know, especially as you try to start to develop your social normalities and try to make sense of being on this, out in this, in the middle of nowhere on this big ass rock revolving around this gassy ball. Every child deserves to have somebody that looks like them, or to be able to see somebody that looks like them accomplishing greatness. And, you know, I don't think I'm searching for the words here, man, because I really don't know what to say. The only thing that I can really compare this moment to, and it might sound a little hyperbolic, is Barack Obama in 2008. It was something that the morning of, you knew what it was, but in the back of your head, you're still like, okay, the rug could still get pulled up from under me, and this might be some fuck shit. Or, you know, where's the fuck shit going to come in, you know? Now, I hope Kofi's title reign works out better for black people than Obama's administration, but that's a different topic for a different podcast. But, you know, WWE, they take a lot of shit, and rightfully so, because they do a lot of fuck shit. But with this Mania 35, man, with the women main eventing, with them finally putting the belt on a black man, and hell, even Seth Rollins, who is of Mexican descent, slaying the ultimate Aryan and Brock Lesnar, you know, it's nice to see them realize that, you know, we all grew up, we're all 80s babies, and we all grew up and television was our third parent. So I watched the exact same shows that y'all watched, you know what I mean? And it's nice to be represented. And before I pass it off you, Balls, I just want to say, just give an example of what I mean by representation matters. You know, when I was a child, I was probably about maybe 3 or 4 years old. And, you know, this was the early 80s. So the only black people on TV were, you know, Mr. T, Michael Jackson, and Arnold and Willis, right? And I remember telling my grandfather that when I got older, I was going to dye my hair blonde and get blue contacts, because that's all I saw. So I thought that's what that was. You understand what I mean? So now you have a generation of young children watching the women main eventing, watching Kofi do what he did. And there's nothing you could do, and there's nothing that you could say that's going to erase that memory from them. And for better or worse, I think it's progress.
No, it was well said. And I can't really follow the whole Kofi spiel you just did, so goddamn you.
I could have said it better.
I got something for you, Platt. I want to ask you, is it that much more so important? Does it add even more to it because Kofi has his family surrounding him? You know what I mean? Does that boost it up? Because I think that sets a great example for no matter what ethnicity you are, and where you live or where you're from and what part of the world, that family comes first, right? Like, if this is the biggest thing that's ever happened to him, he wanted to celebrate with his family right away. His family meant more to celebrating with his family meant more to him than winning, I think.
That's actually a really good question, PC, and you're taking me down a really deep rabbit hole, but I'm going to go there. It humanizes us, because this is the thing. When I talk about representation and whatnot, see, you can have white buffoons on television. Like, y'all can have y'all 16 and pregnant and your Jersey Shores and stuff like that, because there's enough representation. But what happens when it comes to me is that the buffoonery, that ends up getting mistaken for my culture, which couldn't be further from the truth. And then on the flip side of that, that buffoonery is also used to, is weaponized against me and used to dehumanize me and used to justify the people that are on that bullshit harming me. And then even if you're not on that bullshit, you're used to seeing that buffoonery and you make the connection that that's black culture. So then they can throw something out there and say, oh, well, you know, this 16-year-old kid got shot, but he smoked weed back in 2017. Oh, so he was a criminal. That's sad, but he was a criminal. So even if you're not on that bullshit, that shit is still ingrained in your memory and it's easier for you to dismiss it. Does that make sense? So I think the image of him with his two beautiful children and the one son who literally stole the show. He jumped up on the rope and threw the shirt out and, you know, he had the title belt raised in the air. Like, he's a natural. Vince was probably back there. God damn it, I want him. He's going to sign him to a developmental deal next week. But I think it was important for that picture to be shown because it humanizes him. And like you said, man, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but this was one of the things that made Bill Cosby, you know, prior to everything that went down, so important, because a lot of people hadn't seen that image of the black family. And the thing is, at the end of the day, we all have family and all families are crazy. So it's something that everybody that can relate to. Does that make sense?
I think you're making a lot of sense. I think you're making dollars.
Hey,
ching ching.
Andrew, I think you're going to agree with me in trying to transition here, that I think Chris has said it so well that there's not much more to be added to the Kofi thing.
Yeah.
There's one particular thing that I wanted your opinion on, and why did they even have Rey Mysterio wrestle if he was going to come out there and do that? Because there's someone in Joe that you could really do something with, and we'll probably cover that a little bit more moving towards Braun Strowman coming in, but Why did they kind of not make a few audibles here and there where they could have?
So Ray could get the check, and Samoa Joe looks like a beast choking out a few.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, why wouldn't you? Because it's not like Ray didn't have a chance. They gave Ray the instant offense where he hit the 619 in like 20 seconds, and you know, you went into it thinking, oh, ultimate underdog, he's injured, it's the Ray Mysterio gimmick, and he got caught, and then Joe just looked like a beast, and it was this first WrestleMania event that he was able to actually wrestle in. So there were a lot of storylines being played with there. And the one thing I will give booking, or however you want to really say it, for Mania, they spaced out the emotional moments nicely. Like, Kofi was kind of in the middle, which is perfect. It was before the crowd got real tired. It was like four or five matches removed from the women. And then it was right off, you know, like four or five matches away from the opener when Rollins, you know, beat Lesnar in a surprising fashion. So they paced out the bigger moments so that the crowd wasn't exhausted. And I liked that a lot, because even though there were things like Batista and Triple H, which dragged a little bit, but then you got a nice moment for Flair. Like, Ric Flair was able to be, like, utilized in a WrestleMania one more time. So, like, and the whole story kind of revolved around him anyway in a weird kind of backwards way. So that was a perfect moment for Flair. People popped for that. People actually cheered Roman, even though he won, and I thought they were going to go somewhere else with that. They cheered Thuganomics Cena coming back. So it paced things out nicely so that you never burned the crowd out at any point. And it was, as long as it was, at least watching it, was easy because they didn't beat you over the head with emotional moments one after the other. If they built it like a normal card where the title matches would have went on last, so assuming all finishes stayed the same, people would have had no energy for the women or for Kofi, you know, wherever they happened to fall in the 15-match fucking marathon that WrestleMania was. So I give them credit there because I think that made that an easier watch and easier to kind of buy into all of the bigger matches.
I agree with you that they did. It was booked very well, but you didn't get the sense that the crowd kind of died after the Kofi release and they never really got back to that same crescendo. Like, they popped a little bit for the women's match, but I think that the match suffered a little bit because the crowd wasn't as red hot as I anticipated it to be. And I don't think it has anything to do with the women or the match itself. I think having gone to the last four Manias and the last three where they've done these marathons, by the time that main event comes around, fellas, you're drained and you don't have a lot left. So, I mean, you know, frankly, I don't know what you could possibly throw on there that's going to keep the crowd active and up. It's just such a slog and you're just ready to go by that point in time. So I don't know. So, you know, I think that the other matches on the card after Kofi kind of suffered. As far as the Roman thing, well, I'll save that for when we talk about Raw. Never mind. Don't worry about that. But, and shout out to the Doctor of Thugonomics as well. I thought that was really cool. Throwback.
Yeah, that's fair. Because I was just saying, like, I don't think those last couple after Kofi needed a lot of heat because the stories were built in there. They were okay to watch. People had their chances to go get snacks, go get a drink, get up and stretch, whatever they needed to do. And it was fine. I don't think that there was, like, would you really have received, say, Batista, Triple H better if the crowd was on fire the whole time?
Yeah, because it worked for the Thunder Down Under and Triple H and Undertaker. And, you know, that wasn't a classic technicians match, but it was a hot-ass crowd, and it really helped to make that match something worth watching.
Oh, well, yeah, because, what, Triple H and Cena was still hot on the first Jam in the Sand, too.
Jam in the Sand, yeah.
And then even when it was, what, Rusev and Aiden English against Taker in the fucking casket match, it was still hot. The crowd was. So, but, like, I don't know. They don't really normally affect my watching it from TV. Live, perhaps, because that's another story. But I don't know. TV-wise, I don't think it would have made a difference for those couple matches if the crowd was screaming their heads off or if they were just kind of taking it as it went.
Well, I mean, all in all, just kind of, you know, my in summary, I did think it was a really good show. Obviously, I agree with everybody. It's a little too long. To their credit, they tried to give something for everybody. Like, they tried to give you as much as they possibly could. They had a couple of guest commentator spots with Booker T and Jerry Lawler, JBL.
Booker T was fantastic because he got shafted in that one. And he even said it on commentary. And he's just like, I did all this research for 14 seconds. What the fuck?
But I thought that was a real nice touch, too. When, you know, to have Booker come out after the Kofi Kingston victory, because that's our, I don't want to say doppelganger, but the last time we got to this point, we all know what happened. You know what I mean? And it was that guy. So I thought that was good to have him out there for that celebration. And Byron Saxton has done the best work of his career throughout this whole Kofi Kingston storyline. He did a really good job of moving this along with his nuances and his subtleties without being overt. You knew what he was talking about, and he did a really good job. And I felt like he tapped into some real-ass emotions as well. So I got to give him his props because I know I've been critical of him, but I got to give him his due when he deserves it. And, yeah, overall, kudos to WWE, man. They took us on an emotional roller coaster, and they delivered.
Percy Watson's still a little mediocre, though, but I agree about Byron.
Oh, most definitely.
So where are we going after this one, Mr. Matarator?
Gentlemen, I so wish that this was still the theme to Monday Night Raw, because it's been my favorite for a long, long time. Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, and across the nation, and it's a sin. The guns, the fakes, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out. Move to the music. Gentlemen, some people, including myself, look forward to the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania even more than WrestleMania. let's do these next two topics 2 and 3, a little bit different. I have a number of different topics from Raw and SmackDown written down, and I'm going to throw it out there, and I think one of you lead off, the other one with a rebuttal, and then a closing argument. So we'll kind of a little bit more fast-paced on a bunch of different topics. How do you guys like that?
It's a good swerve. Let's go with it.
So all right. In other was rapid fire, the idea I had like 3 months ago. Okay, cool. Go for it.
No. High Noon came up with this idea. You stop it.
What are you talking about? Pardon the interruption.
Is, no, this I'm is fucking the with exact you.
Show. What
I wish
fucking with you.
Yeah, I wish I had Stevie Ray Vaughan Crossfire to play right now, but I don't.
I wish we had that old commercial from the 90s with the little game Crossfire.
I've been stranded.
Crossfire.
The only things my
oh the game? I had that game.
See, you knew the game.
Yeah, I had it. I got it for Christmas. It was great. We played on the kitchen table and scratched the shit out of it, and my stepmom was not happy. It was a nice kitchen table.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
I was like, listen, my dad bought it. You married him, and I was playing with my stepbrother, your other son. So what do you want me to do?
Like, he was my dad before he was your husband. It's his money. It's his table. So fuck you. It's mine.
No, it was her table. They made about the same amount of money.
Okay. It was like, you know, I could be beating this little melon farmer's ass. You should be happy. We playing and getting along. Shut the fuck up and go make some pancakes.
That's the point.
Oh, no. My stepbrother was a Division II, Nationals wrestler and football player.
Okay. Go to the questions before we go down this rabbit hole.
I don't want to bring up some repressed childhood memories. And then
he was putting a full Nelson for a whole 30 minutes at one point.
No.
had to eat through a straw for a summer.
No. He was a year older than me, and he's a great guy. Raw. Here we go. Right, High Noon? All right, you got it.
I like it.
Ambrose put through the table in his last appearance, air quotes, on Raw. What's next?
What's next? I don't think he's really gone, but if he is, it's probably going to be AEW. But my biggest issue with that is every fucking time there's a brawl, no false count anywhere, no holds barred, whatever, they say Ambrose is in his element. Melon Farmer's been fucking laid up either in fucking bars, on a table, through something, in something, dead over something. He hasn't won a match with no rules in longer than I can think of, and he's supposed to be in his fucking element. Is his element fucking eternal loser?
Renee Young is next.
I said she doesn't understand that reference, because when Bobby said, I'll take care of your wife, the dumbest fucking thing she said on commentary was, what does he mean by that? Every 14-year-old was giggling their ass off because they knew what the fuck he meant by that, and she didn't? What the fuck?
She pissed me off. She's been pissing me off anyway, because anytime he does something, hey, Renee, what's up with Dean? I don't know. And now all of a sudden you want to be the dutiful wife after the motherfucker throws him through the goddamn table. Now you want to come to his defense and claim your man. No, that's not how this works. No. I hope he bangs a couple of those Vegas cocktail waitresses while you're on the road, man. That's how well you treated him.
Oy
What's
man.
Wrong with you?
Wow.
But
wow.
I think he'll be gone for... I think, you know, he said it himself before. He was the WWE's workhorse, and I think he's just a little burnt out. So he'll probably take 6-8 months off, go gamble and Drake in Vegas and live in that cool-ass house they've got and recharge his battery. As Jim Ross would say, go away, learn a new hold. And excuse me, I think he'll be back within 6 to 8 months.
Okay, so...
Back in WWE.
So you both think he's staying in WWE? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Technically, yes.
All right, so I want a yes or no answer from both of you before we move on to the next Raw topic here, and that's it, okay? You would rather, though, have him go to All Elite. Andrew?
No.
Platt?
Yes.
There we go. Next topic. Sami Zayn's return and the promo he cut after losing the Intercontinental Championship match against Finn Balor.
Good might work, and I mean, he was a heel the whole time. He came out doing that stupid dance shit that he was doing when he turned heel initially. Everybody was just so happy to see him that nobody noticed that. But it was good might work, good heel promo, and I like him as a heel anyway, so. And we need more credible heels on both rosters at this point.
I miss Big Larry. That was his best heel gimmick ever. I knew you'd know about it. That's the only reason I said it.
Is that when he had the canoe match with Kota Ibushi?
No, it was when he thought he was a black man.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Yeah. You know what?
Google that if you don't know it, Tony.
That's that just reminds anyway. Me of like one of the greatest Dave Chappelle skits of all time. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, I know which ones you're talking about. Those are awesome. But anyway, no, his mic work was fine. The like the anti-smark kind of personality should be interesting, since he's all fuck the audience and what you think, and I'm just gonna do me, and you're not worth my time. I'm curious where it's gonna go. So I'm tempering my expectation on the character progression, but he's good in the ring. He's good on the mic. I like Sammy as a wrestler, a person, yada, yada, yada. So I don't hate it. I just don't really have 100% faith that WWE will pull it off without it being cringy.
That's fair. And I'm just throwing this out here. It might mean something. It might not mean anything. But I've heard reports that the El Generico Twitter page has been reactivated. So... Dun, dun, dun.
That'd be really cool.
Ooh.
That'd be really cool.
I'm not saying, right. I'm just saying.
So Elias is just about to play for everybody right there in Brooklyn. And he says, you know, he's tired of Cena coming out interrupting him. Everybody interrupting him all the time. You know, he just wants to come out here and do his thing. The next person that interrupts him is a dead man. And I'll be damned if it wasn't.
That was awesome. That was excellent wordplay, because I watched Raw the day after, so I didn't see it live. I fell asleep, and I already knew what happened, but that wordplay popped me. And I have no idea what they're doing with Elias ultimately, but I'm digging these segments. I loved him getting shown up by the Doctor of Thugonomics. I like how everybody comes out and keeps interrupting him. It's entertaining.
Yeah, I'm
like,
what can I say? I'm on the other.
To fill him.
Okay, I'm on the other end of the spectrum of you, Chris. That I don't really find it.
Surprise.
No. I don't find it very entertaining anymore, because I'm just getting sick of this interrupted gimmick, and he doesn't really have a story. He hasn't really had a match since the Jarrett Roddy thing. So I appreciate the fact that Cena wanted to work with him, so that gives him a rub. Taker obviously is willing to work with him and give him a rub. So the situations he's in are good for star making, spotlight. His character being kind of vaulted to the precipice of things. That I understand the sports entertainment side. I would just like to see him in a fucking wrestling angle, because he's a good wrestler. He's got good size. He's got good ability. He's got good moves. And I'm just kind of getting sick of him just derping around on his fucking guitar and then getting, you know, bitched out by somebody.
Yeah, I don't really know what the end game here is, but I still find it entertaining. And like you brought up, I mean, he's rubbing up against top guys. As you know, Dr. Thugonomics, The Undertaker, and of course the GOAT, Jeff Jarrett.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
They clearly have some plans for him, or see something in him. And I'm willing to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing. I'm just a little growing tired of it. So, but I see the bigger picture.
Last topic from Raw before we slide on over to SmackDown in topic number 3. Do you still see it as a possibility of happening that the two... Jesus Christ. That the two...
that fucking cat. Every time.
Somebody's dying to be on the show,
how
huh?
Your cat going into business for herself, man? What's wrong with your cat,
well,
man?
Well, it's a lady, so she can do whatever she wants. Just leave me alone. Left that one out.
I like how to edit that. There we go.
And it's...
I was waiting for which way she was going to go. She always does it like twice, just to fuck with you. Oh, this is great.
They teased it, the unification of the titles, basically. You know, if the women both, if one woman's going to have both titles and one guy's going to have both titles, it pretty much means they're going to unify those titles. Did you believe that there was going to be a result to that match? And or do you believe that in saying before they had the tag match to finish the show that they'll finish this business at another time? Do you believe in any of that? Because to me, the big thing is we're going to be on Fox soon. And I feel like at any given time, Fox is going to need any given wrestler to show up and be in a storyline on any given brand. So it would make more sense to get rid of the brand split.
No, there was never going to be a finish to that match. And Andrew, why in the bloody hell, since you're the spokesperson for the IWC on this Melon Farmer?
Yes.
And why in the bloody hell did everybody's panties get in a crawl over this? I don't understand. Get a life, everybody.
See, it's just because everybody knew it was going to be a non-finish, because you'd have to be an idiot to think that they were going to shoot themselves in the foot like that. But nobody wanted it to be the bar. Because I saw so many posts that said something like, anybody else could have interfered. They could have done interference. It could have been anyone but these guys. Even though the IWC generally likes Cesaro, because Cesaro is an indie guy, Claudio Castagnoli, and he's a good wrestler, and he's usually well-received. But because it wasn't the Undisputed Era getting called up, or because New Day didn't turn on Kofi, and people didn't get there, as DeMarco and O'Dowd like to say, their playlist, everybody whined and bitched and moaned. I think my favorite reaction to this whole ordeal was by Matthias Thrasher, who you guys interviewed with Chairshot Radio a few months ago, an indie wrestler. And he basically said WWE could give everybody a $100 bill and somebody would still complain that they wanted 520s instead.
Does he have the goblin or something?
Huh?
Does he have like the goblin or something?
Yeah, the Boglins, yes.
The Boglins. My apologies, Mr. Thrasher.
I saw one on Twitter. I wish I could credit the person that tweeted it, because it was gold. But they said something similar, just a lot more vulgar, so I like that one better. They said
of course
that,
you would.
Yeah. They said that WWE could give every single fan a blowjob from their favorite superstar, and they'd still find a reason to bitch about something.
Same difference, yeah.
And this is what's dangerous about, quote-unquote, giving the fans what they want. If the fans feel like they can affect outcomes, i.e. the Roman Reigns situation, they're going to do that, and they're going to go into business for themselves, and a lot of times they're going to hijack this show. And not only does it take away from the live experience and the experience of, you know, the kids and everybody else that's there that just likes wrestling and wants to watch wrestling, but it also is disrespectful to the talent itself that's going out there busting their ass trying to entertain you. So it's a slippery slope, and I don't really have an answer for it. I just didn't understand the backlash. Plus, it plays into the storyline. I don't know if you all have noticed this, but for the past, 3 to 4 months, the bar has been making Kofi Kingston's life a living hell. You know what I mean? So it plays into that. So, of course, they come over to Raw and attack him and hate on his moment. Goddamn Arians, man, just can't let us be. Just can't let us be great.
Everybody's not an Arian just because they're white.
It's a joke, man.
Come on. What the fuck? You and your MAGA stuff and your Aryan stuff.
I started to say Peckerwoods, but I was trying to be nice. Okay?
Peckerwood would have been better, actually. I like that one.
Nice. I thought Aryan was a little nicer, a little softer.
I think Peckerwood's a little softer.
Oi, man. Oi, man. Oi, man. On that note, no.
Never mind, I'm not.
Yeah, good. Like, no, good, we're going. Good. On that note, let's listen to Lord Alfred, and then we'll listen more of you, Chris, okay?
Promotional right, consideration then. Paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for the old school. What are you going to do? I wish they still had Marilyn Manson singing the SmackDown theme for you. Because, boy, the SmackDown themes have been horrible. When's the last time you guys liked a SmackDown theme?
Speaking of blowjobs, you bring up Marilyn Manson, huh? Google that one, kids. Put that one in your Google machine if you don't know of which I speak.
Yeah, let's just say if he complains about it, he's only got himself to blame.
Shorter rib to Google that.
Yeah, Pop. I really wish you hadn't gone on to SmackDown yet, because I had one more Raw thought I wanted to run by you guys.
Ooh, baby, we like it Raw. Let's go.
Shimmy, shimmy, y'all. Shimmy, yam, shimmy, yay. So I thought it was very interesting that WWE made the deliberate decision not to put Roman Reigns out in front of a hot crowd the Monday night after Raw. And I wanted to tie it back to something that I was going to say during Mania, but I wanted to wait till we talked about Raw. Because, Balls, you made the statement that you saw that the crowd was supporting and cheering for Roman. I saw something different. I saw a lot of indifference and a lot of people sitting on their hands. And I visibly saw and audibly heard a lot of boos. So I guess this is my naivete. I thought he was going to be all-time babyface. Like, I thought he was all-time quarterback at this particular point in time. And that one's on me. That's my bad, y'all. But I feel like that goodwill is starting to wear off a little bit, and sooner rather than later, it's going to be business as usual. And I think that's the reason that they purposely made the decision not to put him out in front of that crowd Monday after Mania.
Which, that makes sense. I don't disagree with you. What I meant by he got cheered, I think there were more cheers than boos. It wasn't a raucous eruption, but it definitely, it was more positive than negative, which is still better than you could say most of his career. So I get you, and I agree that it's probably just to protect the Reigns character. And that's also why, for the last couple weeks, as McIntyre was going through his Destroy the Shield thing, I thought the right answer was going to be to have McIntyre go over. Like, it would have got him heat like a motherfucker. It would have sympathized, ingratiated, whatever word you want to use, for Roman, because he's still not back to 100%, so he couldn't overcome something, and it gives him an obstacle to overcome. Since if Brock is leaving, he needs that big bad rival, and that could have been McIntyre. And since it wasn't, and they decided just to give him the win in a ho-hum kind of match, I agree with you when you said that yourself. There was going to be some backlash. It's a more of a smart crowd at Mania anyway, so I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe Reigns is going to get shipped over to SmackDown.
Maybe so. And, I mean, honestly, I don't take too much stock into this past Monday's Raw and this past Tuesday's SmackDown. Yeah, we did set up a couple of storylines, and I'm sure PC is about to get into some of those now. But I think what WWE was more than anything trying to do was just end the week on a high note and give the fans and the crowd some entertaining shows to watch, because next week, I think it all starts over again, or it all begins again.
True. The whole fucking weekend and Monday and Tuesday were a fucking high note.
I know.
What?
There were plenty of shows to watch over this weekend.
It was the whole thing. They gave the majority what they wanted the entire time. Fucking Friday through Tuesday, period.
You're not wrong. All right.
Okay.
Start with your questions.
All right, buddy. Sorry. I forgot. I have my own show. I apologize.
Somebody's triggered. A trigger warning in this bitch.
God, is this how Rick feels a lot?
I'm not going there.
I can't.
I love Rick. I'm going to have Rick back on DWI Podcast. That dude, I want to have him on one time. All right, SmackDown. Yes, Platt, SmackDown, like we wanted to talk about. How about this? RKO to Mustafa Ali, yes. And then Stone Cold Kevin Owens stunner to Rusev. Talk about that.
Cool, good TV.
Yeah, it was a good way to keep him relevant and right before the shakeup and pop the crowd, because everybody, at least with Orton, it seems like more people like the move than they do the character. So whenever he can come out of nowhere and kill somebody with a good RKO, it gets a big pop. And I like the fact that Owens is using the stunner as a finish now instead of that pop-up powerbomb. So it sets up enough that you remember who they are, so wherever they go with the shakeup, people might care.
Yeah.
All right,
that's my crackpot expert analysis. Yep.
Well, that was an easy one.
Much more concise than mine, so there you go.
All right, gentlemen, last topic for SmackDown, because we've pretty much covered everything else. That let's talk about Lars Sullivan not only attacking Kurt Angle, but then talk about how you feel about that the Hardys go over and win their eighth tag team titles, and then Sullivan comes back and he beats him down right away. I didn't like the fact that they went over and then they got beat down right away. The Kingpin himself, Mr. Greg DeMarco, referenced to me that the same thing happened to them years ago with Brock Lesnar. You guys' thoughts?
You literally took the words right out of my mouth. And I've been kind of, you know, incognito the last few days, so I didn't see Mr. DeMarco say that. But yeah, when reading your description and seeing it play out, that's exactly what I thought as well. They're trying to get this guy over as a monster. Vince sees big things in him. I didn't necessarily like the title change. I think the Usos are clicking on all cylinders right now, and you know, with all due respect to the Young Bucks or the Gorillas of Destiny or Phoenix and Pentagon, which would be my close second. I think the Usos are the best tag team in the world right now. So I was a little disappointed that they took the titles off of them, but it was a cool moment. It was a cool match, and they seemed to really enjoy wrestling the Hardys. It would have been nice for that match to go on Mania, you know, for them to get 10, 15 minutes, but what else? Yeah, as far as the beatdown angle, I don't really see a problem with it because it's Matt and Jeff Hardy, man. They're grandfathered in. Like, you know what I mean? They can't lose. They're not going to lose their heat. It's the Hardys, you know?
You're completely right. And I agree also that Usos and Hardys seem to have decent chemistry, and they all seem to be having fun, so that could have been a really good pay-per-view match. But the only thing this kind of screams to me is that the Usos are moving in the shakeup. So we might get the Samoan bloodline or whatever the fuck they were calling them a couple years ago back together. You know, they just, I think, if anything, this is just so the Usos have the possibility to move and they're not strapped down with the titles. It could be something. I don't really know. The whole tag division tends to shift around every shakeup, and it doesn't normally make that big of a deal. And the only ones that really matter are New Day, Revival, and Usos more often than not. And yes, the bar is good too, but we still prefer them. Or at least personally, I prefer them as singles wrestlers. I'd like to see them go back to singles, even though they're not a bad tag team. But we'll see. They got to do something with that tag division to get it to stop sucking. And
oh, see, I disagree. I love the bar. I love them as a team. They're one of my favorite teams to watch. They have great chemistry, and they always put on good matches, and they play rough, which I dig that.
But yeah, I don't hate that either. But like, and just to cap off the Lars thing, I agree. They're trying to make him a monster. I thought the Kurt Angle part was stupid because there's no reason unless it's just another one of those Brock Lesnar callbacks, since Lesnar and Angle had all those issues, so they wanted to just kind of get people connecting a lot of dots. But nobody's really there to champion for Angle next week except maybe Apollo Crews, and they haven't made Apollo Crews relevant, so that's going to be a match no one gives a fuck about. And the Hardys getting beat down, though it's reminiscent, it doesn't really do anything for him aside from just put him in a big-ish moment to look somewhat scary, but people still don't care.
It's everything is interesting because obviously we're on the verge of the superstar shakeup next week, but the huge elephant in the room, and it's many, many months away. But that Fox deal, that looming Fox deal, I don't even know how much relevance this shakeup is going to have to that, excuse me, that Fox deal, because it's so far in the future, but it's really not that far away. So I'm going to be interested, and I think WWE is going to kind of tip their hand a little bit next week where we see how everything plays out. I don't have any predictions. I agree with you. Maybe the Usos dropping the titles is an opportunity to get them over to Raw. McIntyre
looks like he's going to
SmackDown, and he could possibly be the first challenger to Kofi. That'd be interesting. Yeah, I better not take the title off him neither. Let him run with it for a little bit, please, and thank you, thank you, and please. But yeah, we'll see how everything shakes out next week, and I guess stay tuned, man.
Did you guys?
Okay, so that's actually really a good thing. Tony goes to the next question or whatever.
No, but
that's a good point you just brought up. What would be a good time, you personally, for Kofi to drop it? Like, if he were to lose by DQ but keep the title, and then maybe he loses to, let's just say, McIntyre at SummerSlam, is that long enough for you, or do you want to see it go further than that?
No, that's fair. Like, SummerSlam, that would be more than fair. Because, see, this is what y'all do. Y'all will put him in a mid-card feud and then have him be in a mid-card slot on an off-brand-ass pay-per-view that's not going to sell well regardless. And then you'll say, oh, see, well, black champs don't draw. You know what I mean?
And then
immediately pull this shit off of him. And then
I've never booked a fucking wrestling match in my life. So to say y'all, you can kiss my ass, motherfucker.
No, so, Tunny, do you like Kofi keeping it to SummerSlam, or would you like to see something different?
I had a comment on the last thing you guys were talking about, but I forgot what that was, so I don't even want to talk now.
Ooh, man, more airtime for us, man. And the listeners appreciate that.
Pop.
One more thing, though, man, before we get out of here, I got to say, because there's been a lot of speculation and talk on the internets, and, you know, even in our own private DMs, of, you know, people, the New Day turning heel, or Big E turning on this one, or X turning on this one. No, please. Don't break them up. I mean, they're finally now a main event act. So you know, that's just a new level. It's a new layer, and it's new challenges. It's new storylines from a different perspective. And the fact that Kofi isn't necessarily the strongest on the mic, the fact that he's got Big E and Xavier there to speak for him, it works, man. And, I mean, it's almost as if they've putting on a fresh coat of paint, putting on a fresh coat
not
of paint,
playing it.
To an act that was getting pretty stale. So, yeah, don't break them up now. It's a new day. Yes, it is. You know, they're main eventers now. It's like, you know, the Indians, you know, Major League. It's like, hey, man, look what American Express has done for us. We still are.
Chris,
we're contenders now.
Yes. Chris, would you be okay with them doing what they alluded to if Kofi won the U.S. title a couple months ago with doing Freebird rules for the singles belt?
I would love that, but that's kind of a heel move.
No, I'm just, that's why I'm asking, because they said they would do it with the U.S. title, that they'd all be U.S. champion. So do you think this is one of those, it's purely just Kofi, or if they take him out, like, say, McIntyre, if McIntyre tries to break up the New Day like he did the Shield, so he takes out Kofi, and then somebody needs to kind of step in for him in a championship match, would you be okay with that? Would you think that's stupid?
Jesus Christ, Andrew, why would you put that out into the universe? Because that's a great way to get the, no, because that's a great way to get the title off of him.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but no, let's not do that, because that's a great way to take the title off of him. So then you can say, well, he technically didn't lose it, so he's still the champ.
There we go. And then it starts up a whole new story. It's wrestling, and that's the only reason why I'm thinking like that, and you know.
I know, man, but no, let's not do that, please, and thank you.
Let's hope that they don't do that then, okay.
I'm not going to comment.
Okay. And if it happens, I apologize ahead of time.
It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. They're never going to put Freebird rules on the WWE title. Sorry, I said it wasn't, but you fucking provoked me. Fucking provoked me. You seen me in the Skype window. You knew I had something to say, and I was holding it back, and you provoked me.
I'm happy you got it out.
What's up with you today, man? You've been cutting promos all goddamn show, man. You feisty.
Are you
today
drinking?
What's up with you, man?
Different that you're feisty, buddy? Like, what is it, a new IPA?
I don't know, it's weird.
I don't know, I kind of like it. He's getting his Sid Vicious on.
Somebody get this man Bob Kraft's number, man.
There we go.
Whoa,
somebody
man.
Get this man Bob Kraft's number, man.
He's... I don't know pay for it.
He's in Wisconsin, not Florida. I don't know if they have those kind of places.
Not paying for it. Jesus Christ, where do you think I live? I'm in like the fucking top 20 popular city in the fucking America. I live in one of the things.
Like they do have those places.
Go to hell.
They do have those places in Wisconsin, but the problem is the women, not only are they not Asian, but they all look like Bobcat Goldthwait. So
you're better off just say don't shit it alone after everything. Like, I'd like to give you a handy J, don't you know? And folks, you're just like, how do you keep erection during that?
Folks, sometimes they don't realize that no matter how funny they are, some things just won't make the air. I do a way better Bobcat than you guys, and I'm just not going to do it on principle right now.
Word. The one thing that you could do to make this show entertaining, and you're not going to do it.
Oh, it's Bobcat Goldthwait, eh? That's it, huh? That's what's going to fucking sell us.
No. What's going to sell you, not us. We're
the Bobcat impression is exactly what we need right now. That's the one piece we're missing.
Test shot and use it.
He sound like the bear from the Cleveland show, man.
Hey, Cleveland, don't you know?
Did it. My name is Cleveland Brown, and I am proud to say I'm back here in my hometown here today. There's old friends and new friends, and even a bear. Through good times and bad times, it's true love will share. And so I found myself another friendly face. That's right, I'm right back here, right back in Cleveland's place. Ooh! This is the Cleveland show.
And on that note,
and somehow we're going to move on to like NXT from that or something like that. What the fuck?
Well, at least it wasn't you guys that ruined the show today.
That's the difference.
All I can say, gentlemen, is without a shadow of a doubt, the WWE Network special of 2019. I slipped into a little bit of a Finn Balor accent there. 2019 is going to be NXT TakeOver New York from Brooklyn.
I mean, if that's your take, okay, it's possible. I mean, we're still going to have two or three more takeovers. It was a really good show, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I could have done without the Indie Spot Fest bullshit on the third fall of the fucking two out of three falls match. Like,
oh my fucking God, ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this broadcast for a special bulletin.
Let's go live to Christopher Platt on the scene.
I'm down on the scene in Hades, and it appears that it is frozen over.
Since when do I...
And Andrew Belaz totally agree on something.
Oh my fucking Christ.
I'm with you 110%. Number one, it was a good show. I don't think I liked it as much as most. I love the tag match, obviously.
Yes.
I love Riddle and Velveteen. I thought they told a really good story. Riddle comes out looking like a badass, and Dream just got one up on him. So I think that was really good. I enjoyed the women's match. Bianca looked real strong. I was surprised that Shayna retained because I thought she was going up sooner rather than later, but it was still a really good match. The main event, it was cool. It was all right, man. It was a fun match, but number one, it didn't have any psychology whatsoever, and it was too obvious. The cooperation was way too obvious for me. So that took me out the moment. It had some really good near falls, and it wasn't a bad match. It
had too many near falls.
Yeah, and it just didn't make sense. Like, there's room for that in wrestling, and it would have been a really fun mid-card match on a super show, but as far as your main event, nah, man, you're going to have to give me a little more than that. And, you know, your man, Meltzer, talking about this quite possibly might be the best match in the history of North America. I mean, bruh.
He's high.
I'd be trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, but when you be saying dumb shit like that, like, you really are becoming a parody of yourself. Like, hey, come on, man. Put the pipe down for a little bit, Dave. Put the pipe down.
I mean, I agree with your rundown. The tag match was the best one. I loved everything they did. It actually told a story. There was a couple flippy spots, but it wasn't excessive. And they still told a story within the flippy shit. And Velveteen, I mean, he's money. Like, that's perfect. And the way he gave Riddle his first loss, because Riddle got a little cocky, and you could see him getting cocky. He was cocky and desperate and frustrated all at the same time. That was a good story. The women, I like the stories that were being told. And, of course, because, you know, my bias that you like to point out, Kyrie and Io's little moment was awesome. I mean, even you have to give him that, even though your bias takes you to Bianca in that match. The fact that Kyrie and Io seemed, like, conflicted every time they had to hit each other or when they had to break up one another's pin, and then everything, it's just, you could see it on their face. They're just like, I don't want to hit you, but I have to. And it was a good story. And you don't always see the facial reactions and the actual, like, in-ring psychology like that. Most people tell it through the moves or the holds or the pacing of the match. They don't actually show you the emotional strain between the two characters.
No, that's true. And I think eventually they probably end up getting called up together as a tag team as they try to get that women's tag team division popped off. But it's weird because, you know, before Ice Sharona got there, Kyrie was tagging a lot with who's the Japanese or the Chinese young lady? Zing something?
Xia Li.
Oh, okay. So, yes. So, but I could see them maybe forming some kind of faction. But either way, I think Kyrie, I think they go up together. But no, I agree with you. They did seem conflicted. And as if, you know, friends fighting for the same goal, they would. Like, that's real. So that makes sense. You know what I mean? But yeah, overall, it was a really good show. That main event, everybody needs to kind of pump their brakes on that one.
Agreed completely. How did the Walter one hit you? Because I know you haven't seen a lot of Walter, so that might have been maybe not your first notice, but just something that you're not 100% accustomed to. What did you think about him?
I forgot about the Walter match, man. I was disappointed because I'm a huge Pete Dunne guy, and I've been hearing things about Walter, and Walter's he's a throwback. But I expected a little more, honestly, a little more physicality in the match, and it was cool for what it was. I wasn't blown away. But I think Walter is a good representation for NXT UK. He's now positioned as their Brock Lesnar.
That's a fair enough point. And it did have a couple spotty moments, and I don't mean like indie spot fest. I mean just like there was a couple sloppy moments early on, and then it kind of recovered and became a bit of a brawl. But yeah, I could have definitely went for a little more rough and tumble, just, you know, badassery, instead of him going off the top rope with a splash, which just seems so unnatural. I don't know why they did that. I really, really don't, when he's got a plethora of other moves he could use to finish people. So it's different. I hope there's a reason for it, but I don't know.
But shoot, he'd probably mess around and be the UK NXT champion for the next 5 years or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, Dunn had it for almost two, so you never know.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't, it didn't blow me away. It was cool for what it was. I honestly, like I said, I was a little disappointed. I expected a little bit more, but it was the right time to put title on him. And I'd like to see Pete Dunn come over here to the States. I think he has star written all over it. At least as a heel. I think he could be a really good heel.
Do you think he's on his way to one of the main roster shows, or if he's just on his way to NXT proper?
Probably on his way to NXT proper. I don't know how this SmackDown Shakedown is going to shake up. I know I totally botched everything, but y'all get it. But I think we're going to get some call-ups here, and they're going to have to replenish that roster, and Pete Dunne's a good one. I mean, hell, you could throw him into a feud with Gargano, and that could be your next takeover main event. You could do that tomorrow.
It could be. Yes, and the bruiserweight as a cruiserweight could also work too, Tony. Yes.
Yeah, the only problem with that is nobody cares about the cruiserweights.
That is a problem, and I don't think Dunn would bring eyes, really.
No, he wouldn't. And basically, they're pairing off all the cruiserweights with the main roster guys. So, I mean, it's like
open cruiserweight cars.
You get a cruiserweight. You get a cruiserweight. You know.
Unless you're the Lucha House Party, they try to bring you up, they realize you suck, and you get kicked back down.
They're basically New Day with piñatas.
I really always thought of them more as the Mexicools without the lawnmowers.
Oh, Jesus. They can't be quite that. They can't be quite that blatant anymore, though. So that's why I said piñatas.
So see, you don't disagree. You're just like, they can't come in on the lawnmowers. That's racist. Okay.
I mean, not saying the piñatas are culturally appropriate, but it's not a goddamn lawnmower.
That's true. It'd be funny if they just start walking around the crowd going, "Senor, can I mow your lawn, senor? Do you have a garden you would need some tending to?"
I was wondering if you guys had anything else to talk about TakeOver.
No, we kind of covered that. Then we went into our own thing. What, do you have another topic for us?
We do. We have one topic left, gentlemen.
Please save Andrew from himself.
Senor, please save me.
Gentlemen, the WWE Hall of Fame. We had a plethora of excellent speeches. I mean, you had none other than the Honky Tonk Man. Started off a little rough, finished very, very strong. Tori Wilson giving that message of empowerment, and then also recognizing all of us who did grow up as 80s and 90s babies that truly appreciated Tori Wilson as we grew towards manhood. In addition, Sue Atchison gets inducted and basically gets John Cena cheered for the first time in like a decade inside a WWE atmosphere. But John Cena should be noted for what he's done, Make-A-Wish. He's granted more wishes than anybody in the history of that program. Check it out. Brutus the Barber was a little hard to watch, but he closed strong as well, just like the Honky Tonk Man. Harlem Heat was excellent. DX was a little long, but delivered with everything that they did. The Simpsons predicted it. There was an episode of Homer in that same dumbass Rastafarian hat on his stupid-ass head, right next to Bret Hart. And I'm not saying the hat is dumb, but I'm saying on Homer it was dumb, and on this guy it was dumb that attacked Bret Hart. Gentlemen, this was the talk of the Hall of Fame.
The Simpsons Republicans are oddly accurate in a lot of their predictions because they predicted Trump as well. It's weird. I don't know. So, Balls, I know you were preoccupied that Saturday. So I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Hall of Fame or not. I'm kayfabing. I know what you said earlier, but goddamn it, kayfabe. Don't break kayfabe.
I mean, I saw this part.
Everybody, it's Wednesday.
Even though I was at a different live event on Saturday when this was going on, as soon as it happened, everybody and their brother were blowing up with their phones going, oh my God, did you see that thing that happened with Bret Hart? He got attacked. Holy shit, look. So, yeah, everybody was aware of it. So
neither of you watched it? Neither of you watched it live? Okay, I had to work.
I didn't see it live, yeah. I didn't watch the Hall of Fame until like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, then this is the only relevant drop-in of mine throughout the entire show here. I watched it live, and it was really a what-the-fuck moment because you were kind of getting into their speech, and like the Hart Foundation meant a lot to a lot of us, listeners and people on this show included, and it was out of nowhere. Like, it was like RKO times two out of fucking nowhere. And it was kind of crazy because they were on top of it in the truck and they cut to black real quick. And there was not anything on Twitter immediately about what was happening outside of that because I think people were in shock inside the arena as well. But you could tell right away within 30 seconds that Bret Hart was fine, this guy was subdued, and that WWE was kicking the ever-living fucking shit out of him. So that's the thought that was happening for me live, and that's the vantage point of anybody watching on the WWE Network live.
You know the funniest part about what you said, Chris? You can take most of this because you actually watched more of it than I did. I'm just going to do this little bit. When you said everybody in the WWE beat the shit out of him, it's funny because the two guys that got the most hits in aren't part of the WWE because it was Travis Brown, which was Ronda Rousey's husband, and Davey Boy Smith Jr., who was just beating the shit out of him until they pulled him out of the ring, and then Dash Wilder kind of get that free shot in. But I find it funny that everybody that took the most offense aren't actually people that are, you know, contracted WWE workers and just got on top of the guy and beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, I was surprised that Travis Brown, I got to give his kudos, because it appeared that he and Shane were the first ones in the ring, and I always considered him a douchebag, but I gotta pop my collar to him on this one. Mm-hmm.
The connection there, though, is that Natty and Ronda are really close, and Travis knows the fact that Ronda loves Natty and that Brett is Natty's uncle.
Yeah, touche. We'll play, Tony. See, you had two good points today.
I told you this is the only topic I'd be relevant on. Everything else I might delete, but I won't.
Well, hey, maybe we can try for 3 good points next week, huh?
Don't, you know what? I like to keep expectations low because it feels good when you exceed them.
But this kind of goes back to kind of bring it full circle, man, to the original topic. When, Tunney, you asked about whether or not Vince is listening to the fans, this is the downside to listening to the fans. Because you know how in movies, when a character is given another character their number and they go, hey, what's your number? And they go 555-5555. You know they do that because if they don't, if they actually give an actual number, there's going to be like 10 million jerk-offs trying to fucking call Tony fucking Stark. You know what I mean? Like
8675309.
This is the problem, man, with letting fans think that they have a voice. And they honestly should have a voice because they're your constituency. They're the reason that you're this billion-dollar conglomerate. But there's always going to be a jerk-off who, for whatever reason, thought it was a good fucking idea to jump a Hall of Famer with a bunch of wrestlers around and Hulk Hogan sitting right over there. Like, if you would have jumped on Hulk, man, I might have put some money on your books. But to jump in,
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what did you expect was going to happen? I mean, granted, you got a little bit of fame. Like, people, you know, looked you up and people know your name. I'm not even going to give this jerk off the satisfaction of saying his name. And I guess he's an MMA fighter and this and that. What did you expect was going to happen? Was it really worth it? And shout out to all the wrestlers that beat the holy breaks off this Melon Farmer, because goddamn it, he deserves it. And I almost wish one of them would have broke their hand on his face so they could have sued him. Did you ever see that Married with Children when the dude broke into Al Bundy's house and Al beat him with a bat and he sued Al and Al lost in court? And then he punched the dude while they was in court, and he countersued him because he broke his hand, and he ended up with it.
I seen it. I seen it.
But, it was weird. Like I said, I saw it on Twitter before I saw the actual thing. And then once all the reports came out, and they were talking, this guy was upset, and, Brown was so mad, he was just pacing back and forth. He was so pissy. And I watched the replay, and they edited it out. And I saw where they made the edit, but then in the background, you literally can see Braun Strowman just walking back and forth. So I'm like, okay, that must have been when it happened. But kudos to Brett, man, for being professional and pulling himself together and, maintaining his speech and not really letting that throw him off too much.
Sure. I'll give him that one. That was fine.
So let me ask you this, Mr. Blaz, and I don't want to go in depth into it because if you want to hear all of our thoughts on this particular the next topic, well, then you need to go to patreon.com/thechairshot and sign up for Pod Is More.
That's a good lead-in, buddy.
But I want to give him – thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. But I want to give him a little bit of a morsel, just a little bit of a morsel.
Ooh, okay.
With the commotion that happened evening at Madison Square Garden involving certain ex-WWE superstars, do you think – you see, I'm trying to be as vague as possible because mm-hmm. I want them to sign up for the Patreon account. Do you think that how the latter incident had anything to do with the fact that the former incident probably less than an hour before the latter? Or is that too vague?
They happened kind of close to each other, if I remember correctly, because there was a big everybody was on their phone at some point moment. And I think what you initially alluded to plus what we ended with here happened very, very close to one another, because I think people were looking up to see if there was information, because we weren't 100% if they were who we thought they were. A little Dennis Green reference right there. And then everybody just turned into the whole, oh, wait, fuck, look what happened. Bret Hart, this, that, oh, my God. So it was, I don't know if they're necessarily joined, because there's a lot of conversation that the thing you're alluding to was a work brother. So I guess we'll have to figure that one out when more information comes out.
To hear more about this conversation, dial 1-900-909-9900. That's 1-900-909-9900. Kids, get your parents' permission first.
Isn't that the WCW hotline?
That was the joke, man. And thanks for.
I know. I was kind of hoping Tunney would have went with something too. No.
Well, who asked God you? But seriously, if you want to hear, if you want to hear our thoughts about the, God damn it, I'm trying to plug. Shut up.
It's funny. Shut up. I'm sorry.
Anywho, so if you want to hear our thoughts on said incident, as well as Andrew's thoughts about being live and in living at the MSG Ring of Honor
Fan
Super Show,
color,
and we're going to break down some of those matches and some of the happenings of that particular event. Make sure you guys go to patreon.com/thechairshot. Again, that's patreon.com/thechairshot for Pod Is More. So it's chairshot. Anything else you guys always wanted to touch real quick before we put a bow on this, Mellow Farmer?
Your head.
Sorry, you set me up for that one.
Not, and when it comes to bows, I think we could just, throw some bows and get done with this, move on to Pod Is More.
Hey, man, shout out to the WWE. Whether you love them or hate them, they put on a hell of a great week's worth of professional wrestling content. All the other shows surrounding that all, they all delivered. One match that I was disappointed that I didn't get to see that happened this weekend at WrestleMania weekend was Swoggle versus Scott Steiner. I would have loved to have seen that shit, man. I don't even remember what show it was on, but are you kidding me?
You are a glutton for punishment, aren't you?
Come on, man. How cool would that be? That's a spectacle and a half.
Okay. You know what the spectacle would have been? I thought you were going to use this one, but Scott Steiner makes sense. I thought you were going to say, what was his name? Nick Gage against Swoggle. The fucking CZW King of the Deathmatch guy against fucking Swoggle. And I think it was a deathmatch.
Dude, Swoggle had like 50-11 bookings during Mania weekend, man. That Mellon Farmer got paid,
Jack. Didn't Cook write an article on the chairshot.com that was going over who had the most bookings for Mania weekend?
I believe he did. Thank you, Tony.
What? I didn't say nothing.
Exactly. No, I believe he did. And if you all want to see that article, man, make sure you guys go to thechairshot.com for the latest, greatest, and up-to-datest news, reviews, and analysis with attitude about this weird, wonderful, wacky world of wrestling that we all inhabit.
Yeah, there could have been a show that, you know, flew under your radar, and what Cook lined up for us covered most of them, I'm pretty sure.
And, so. You know, and it's funny because Paige's mom, Soraya, she had a couple of bookings this past weekend, too. And I would have liked to have seen her wrestle, especially seeing as how, you know, I went and saw the movie Wrestling with My Family. And if you'd like to hear my review of that movie, along with my lovely lady, Miss Amber, on the premiere episode of Cocktails with Cramber, again, you'll sign up for patreon.com/thechairshot. Again, patreon.com/thechairshot. And hear our exclusive official review of the WWE Dwayne The Rock Johnson produced Wrestling with My Family movie. All right, so why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you, Mr. Blast?
You could find me on the Twitter at IWC War Chief, since I am the speaker of the IWC. I am their war chief. I lead them into war, even though WrestleMania was good. So if anybody thinks that WWE fucked up this week, they will die on the front lines, because fuck those idiots.
Is that like a little hint of French accent I hear that we're got going on there? Because if you're the...
It depends.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem I have. Here's the problem I have.
I like to throw in the French.
No, listen. 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 The logic in this is if we're going to have a war chief, I definitely don't want him to be French. So maybe we pick a different accent.
Maybe we go Russian war chief. Maybe we go Russian war chief. It's okay. Thank you know, you, fuck that bitch. This is Russia. We go Russian war chief now.
Much better.
Every time forward, Russian.
It's more trust. I can trust. I can believe in it.
I thought he was going to go. Thank you, white Jesus, because I thought he was going to go in a different, totally different direction, and I'm glad you did. Thank you. Oh, boy.
Oh, no. All right. Well, come on.
I like how you thanked white Jesus, not even black Jesus.
No, man, that's it. Black Jesus gave us Kofi. White Jesus kept those words and thoughts out your head that I thought you were going to go to the place you were going to go. Anywho, anyway, if you want to thank white Jesus for doing the job for you and your absolution of sin.
Black Jesus doesn't do the job?
God damn it, I'm plugging.
Why doesn't Black Jesus do the job?
Got like two black listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at thechairshot.com, we believe that there is... You know, much like a multiverse in the DC and Marvel comics, there is a Jesus-verse.
There's a Jesus-verse.
Chair Shot Radio, the Jesus-verse.
Jesus Hulk. You won't like him when he's not Christian.
Jesus Hulk. Oh, my God. Iron Jesus and Spider Christ.
And I guess instead of Black Widow, it's Black... Jesus, there we go. That's that one. Everybody likes doing the best.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy. I don't know which one. But you guys, hey, man, you guys can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. But more importantly, make sure you all go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You'll see exactly what we're talking about. And you'll see a lot of other great designs as well. One of my personal favorites is the Corona design. Amber actually just bought that one this past weekend. She's got the long sleeve t-shirt with the chair shot designed like the Corona label. That's a really cool shirt. And there's a lot of other cool shirts, including the hottest shirt on the whole goddamn site, endorsed by Mr. Baron Corbin himself, the Constable Corbin, the commissioner that drove Raw's ratings into the tank. Kayfabe, pal. Baron Corbin sucks. If you want that shirt and everything else, again, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Mr. Tunney, where can they find you, sir?
We should be
at... It's PC Tony.
Yep, that was me. That's it.
Hey, man. For Andrew Snowflake Balls Blast, for the Commissioner PC Tony, for Black Jesus, White Jesus, Latino Jesus, Asian Jesus, Muslim Jesus, Indian Jesus, Hindu Jesus, Space Jesus, Iron Jesus, and Spider Christ like, I'm Christopher Platt. Thanks for listening to Pod is More or War. Stay tuned for Pod is More through the Patreon. And until next time, Hit it, Carly.
Misa Jar Jar, Jesus. Misa ruined the show.
Okay, we do Chewbacca.
Fantastic. I like that. No, that was so good. That was so good.
I was waiting for you to start singing, Chris.
Spider Christ, Spider Christ, died for your sins and he came here twice.